Hansen from Truth Life Ministry, sharing Lake Side, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to do a new study, and it's on the world of the patriarchs. And I think it's kind of interesting to know our patriarchs and the land, the laws, the customs of the ancient events in the Book of Genesis. It's quite interesting how these civilizations came to be, because these are early people with faith, and we're going to talk about them for a while. And the patriarchal clans, such as Abraham's, were actually extended families who traveled together. Family members shared the tasks of producing what they needed to live. They also traded sheep and goat products for goods, and Canaanite craftsmen are known to have been exceptional potters. They also wove fabrics and worked with bronze. And the land of Abraham, that Abraham and his family traveled, was the great arch known as the Fertile Crescent, which skirted the upper reaches of the Arabian and Syrian deserts. It was a land of arid vistas and rocky hills, interrupted with green pastures, planted fields along with the floodplains and rivers, and cities busy with activities of merchants and craftsmen, builders. On the eastern side of the Fertile Crescent were the Tigris and the Euphrates River. Mesopotamia and the city of Ur, where Abraham was born. To the west was Egypt, in the valley of the Nile River. Mesopotamia and Egypt were the homes of the Near East earliest major civilizations. In time, the land between them, Canaan, also became important. With no major rivers running through Canaan, water and fertile ground were in short supply. But the land of Canaan still remained the land of promise that God gave. And it was a great value because of the trade routes running through the Mesopotamia and Egypt. Consequently, a steady flow of traders and travelers brought the people from Canaan and its towns of Shechem, Hebron, Beersheba, and others into contact with the civilizations to their east and west. By the age of the patriarchs, sometime between 2000 and 1500 BC, the history of the Fertile Crescent was already long and complex. People had inhabited Mesopotamia from the earliest times, and a large-scale settlement had begun there about 3500 BC with the arrival of the Sumerians. These linguineous people, who are thought to have come from Central Asia, developed the first major civilization in the Near East. They devised irrigation systems that allowed them to cultivate grain and other crops in an arid climate, and they invented one of the first forms of writing, cuneiform. And they may also have invented the wheel, although there's no rock to be quarried along the floodplains of the rivers. The Sumerians became masterful architects, building massive pyramid-like ziggurats for worship and city walls for defense. Using bricks they had made from mud and clay. Within 500 years, Sumerian cities such as Kish, Erech, Nippur, and Ur functioned as independent states. But these powerful city-states fought for supremacy among themselves and against outsiders, ultimately losing their collective power. Around the time of Abraham, the 19th century BC, control of the region had passed completely from the Sumerians into the hands of the Semitic people known as the Amorites, who ruled as the first Babylonian dynasty. Civilization in the Nile Valley followed close behind that of Sumer, and in many ways paralleled it. The Egyptians developed an extensive agriculture, devised a system of writing based on hieroglyphics, and they were highly inventive builders and engineers. They too constructed buildings of walls, mud, brick, but with sandstone, limestone, and other rocks available to them as well. The Egyptians became the first architects of the monumental stone structures, including the pyramids and other royal tombs. Geographically isolated in the ancient Near East, Egypt did not suffer the constant problem of invasion and attack experienced by the Sumerians. Nevertheless, about 3100 BC, kingdoms established on the Nile in Upper and Lower Egypt merged into a single unified political state that would remain an entity, though its power waxed and waned throughout the Old Testament period. There were cities and tiny villages, vast stretches of unsettled land in the Fertile Crescent. Populations in the region varied in their ethnic makeup and their language, and they changed constantly as new groups of people arrived. And they settled there in that valley because it was very nice place to live. Complex world that Abraham walked into when he left his home in Ur, obeying what God had called him to do and to travel to Canaan. And briefly to Egypt, he would never return to his birthplace, like other semi-nomadic clans. Abraham and his family probably lived outside the main cities, but although they traveled with their livestock, they were identified with specific areas, planting and harvesting crops, sometimes staying at a site for a year or more at a time. Clans traveled on foot and by donkey. Camels were not domesticated until about 1200 BC, and the need to stay close to water restricted the distances they were able to travel at any given time. The tents that the families used as dwellings were well suited to semi-nomadic life, sizable enough for comfort, yet easily transported from one place to another, offering shade to protection and wherever they set them up. The clans were often well known to the townspeople at their various sites and frequently conducted business with local rulers and merchants. Many of them, the families, owned slaves back then. This may come as a shock to you, but they did. They owned slaves and vast amounts of property. Abraham bought land to use as a family burial ground, and Jacob bought land in Shechem. Given the importance of the land in the patriarchal narratives and covenants with God, it's clear that the Abraham's family had a strong sense of permanence in Canaan, although semi-nomadic clans probably had to cooperate, at least nominally, with local ordinances. Their own internal laws were much those of an extended family with a patriarchal leader. Combination father and governor, whose rule was undisputed until his death, actually. He was God to this family. I mean, he wasn't big G. He was just a little... He ruled as a king, the patriarch. Had many roles to fulfill. He was responsible for making sure that his family had a safe place to live and enough to eat. It was he who contracted for grazing and water rights with local rulers each time the family settled. And he was the one who set the terms for trading the clan's goats and sheep and everything else. Products for goods such as fabric, pottery, or bronze tools made by urban craftsmen. But locating sites and doing business were only part of it. Patriarchs such as Abraham were also responsible for making sure that family customs were properly observed, actually. And as far as kinship and marriage among the customs maintained by the patriarchs were securing a wife, an inheritance for sons, and a husband and a dowry for daughters. Sons traditionally remained connected to their father's home as adults. They didn't leave like they do today here in this country. They didn't leave and say something negative. They remained with their fathers until adults and while they're adults. They remained connected to their patriarch father. While daughters, at the same time, they left when they married and became part of their in-laws' households. The bond between daughters and father-in-laws was strong. The most acceptable marital contracts were those made with other members of the extended family, an arrangement that secured loyalty and continuity. Similarly to the Chinese, how the Chinese operate, they marry their cousins, and they keep their money in the family. Actually, thus Abraham, in this case, he married his half-sister, Sarah. Did you know that? Yeah, Abraham married his half-sister, Sarah, and searched for a wife for his son, Isaac, among his own kin. Jacob married two of his cousins, who happened to be sisters, actually. Many such marital customs would be forbidden when Mosaic law was introduced. Meanwhile, it was not unknown in the patriarchal age for a man to marry two women, either of his own volition or because his first wife could not produce the desired heirs. Once a woman married, she was expected to produce an heir for her husband. The son designated as the heir of a patriarch inherited his role as leader and a major share of his property, as well as his responsibilities. Having an heir was so important that a wife might engage a slave to conceive her husband's child if she could not do it herself. Sarah made such an arrangement, as we all know, with her servant Hagar, although she would later resent the child of that union when her own son Isaac was born. Eventually, in such cases, the title of heir did not automatically go to the child of the marriage or to the firstborn, since Sarah had to fight with Abraham to take any and all inheritance away from Hagar's son and secure it for her own. But God blessed Sarah's determination, letting it be known that Isaac was to be the sole inheritor of the covenant. Don't be distressed because of the boy, because of your slave woman. God said to Abraham, whatever Sarah says to you. Now that's something going some. But God said this. I want you to realize this. God said to Abraham, whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. Genesis 21 and verse 12. And I'm going to stop there. I can see we're out of time. And we might take this up tomorrow. I don't know. It's something that very interesting. And I hope you enjoy. Give me some feedback. Give me a call, 928-368-6766. Let me know. Let me know what you enjoy. I mean, we're not here for your enjoyment, but to teach and to minister. And let's pray right now for your health and your strength and whatever's the devil's attacking you. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for those that are listening now, and we rebuke the devil. We rebuke the devil of disease, sickness, and infirmity, and we command him to go. Get out in Jesus' name. We command that body to be healed. And whatever it takes to be healed, give us discernment, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, what to eat, how to exercise, and what weight we need to be at. Father, thank you, Lord. Give us wisdom. And we receive Christ into our lives as our Lord, our Savior, and our God. We thank you, Lord. We want to be born again right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Give us a call, 928-368-6766. Write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Go to our website, krciradio.com. And if you're a pastor, give us a call. Let us know if you'd like to go on a radio station, if you have some teaching. It's a very, very reasonable. I mean, just for a donation every month, a donation of $200, you can be on every day, 12, 13, 14 times a day from 6 to midnight. And that's not much, considering they charge $50, $100 for every spot on other radio stations. So we're very, very reasonable for just to cover electricity bills and cover our expenses. Give us a call, 928-368-6766. Till tomorrow's broadcast, as Brother Hansen saying, study to show yourself approved to God.